There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. All right, it is 6:05 on a Monday, which means it's our 6 o'clock segment. And at 6, we're very fond of picking 6 things, whether it's the top headlines of the day, as we'll do most of the rest of the week, or on Fridays, we pick players that we think are going to be important in the Commanders game. And then on Monday, we review them, and as is established, it's 6 o'clock on Monday. Anthony, just hit the button.
The 6 biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Well, they've been so good so far this year. So many different players contributing. Let's start off with
number one.
Number one is a guy that I had the pick this week. And I said the pass rush needs to get home. They need to figure out how to get pressure on Kyler Murray. And they signed a particular player in the offseason to be their most prolific pass rusher. And this guy, well, I think he wound up with a half a sack officially getting credited for, but he showed up in this aspect and others, and that is Frankie Luvu. Luvu played a really, really solid game on Sunday. You see his mobility, you see his physicality, you see some of the pass rush juice in a way that I don't think we had seen as much of so far. And I mentioned a play during first and 10 off the top of the show where he is in a stunt where he's like, because the thing is with Luvu, like sometimes he is playing as a blitzing linebacker and getting pass rush that way, and he helped jam up the pocket a couple times doing that, but also sometimes he lines up on the edge and he legitimately is a rush edge. And there was one stunt that he ran with John Allen where Kyler got rid of the ball quickly and it wanted to be a completion, but you're like, oh, that was it. And if they can start hitting that stuff more often, Anthony, I think they can start to turn up the pressure on a lot more than just Kyler Murray with a, let's call it mediocre offensive line for the Cardinals, but against good, better lines and guys that you know, are better quarterbacks as well, that maybe aren't as limited in the pocket as Kyler is.
Yeah, I think he also ran that same stunt with Deron Payne when they went.
I'm sure.
We used to call it like Cinco package when Ron was here. I'm not sure what they call it.
Yeah, no,
now.
That's another thing that I'm glad you point out. Like, they are running some 3-4 fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to call it the Cinco package where they had 5 linemen on the field, but it was all linemen. Now it's 3 down with four, or like with two standing linebackers. And sometimes it's Fowler, sometimes it's Armstrong, sometimes it's Luvu, sometimes it's Jamin, sometimes it's Jean-Baptiste. But like they are legitimately running a hybrid defense that is sometimes four down and sometimes three down. And then they're doing crazy stuff on third down. Like they got two dudes standing up, dudes floating around. Like the dude who might have his hand in the ground is Deron Payne, but he's lined up as a defensive end, and you got three dudes standing next to him. They're doing crazy stuff on third down, which I thoroughly enjoy. But yeah, that they're really starting to mix some stuff up, and it makes it very unpredictable. And they're using skill sets, right? It's how do we design something around our guys? And for Luvu and also for Jamin, like they are using Jamin to drop in zone blitzes and like, oh, I thought you changed into pass rusher. Well, he's still a better coverage guy than any other edge player that they have outside of Luvu. And so they're using him as a zone dropper in zone pressures. And so there's just some really good innovative stuff that's happening. And I think Luvu's at the center of it. And I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see him continue to run into people very forcefully, Anthony. That is really my takeaway from this game.
He forced a fumble too, though, right?
Yeah.
On Michael Wilson?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that was so late in the game that you almost forget about it. But yeah, they got a turnover. And who was it? It was Frankie Luvu.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Craig. Way to use your number one pick effectively.
That was a great number one pick.
Your number one pick was pretty good, too.
My number one pick was Jeremy McNichols. And again, on Friday, I didn't expect him to, have the same impact as an Austin Ekeler. I just wanted him to be solid. But him being solid, turned into him running hard and being able to, rattle off a 27-yard touchdown run. Also being able to convert a 4th-and-1. And he was out there running hard. He was out there to spell Brian Robinson, and he did a hell of a job doing that. He protected the ball. He caught the ball. He did everything that you needed, for a, backup running back to do, and he did it well. So very good to see him go out there, lead block for Jaden Daniels one play. He just does everything
B-Rob on some others.
Yeah, whatever you need him to do, he will do that for you. And I think that's why, he's an Adam Peters guy, because they see he does whatever it takes to, win.
Jeremy McNichols played well enough that he earned himself snaps when Ekeler is back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude runs hard. Like, you want to talk about the identity of this team? Because I think he was a captain for this game. Technically, he was a special teams captain, but, like, whatever. Like, he played like a captain. He played like a guy that, like, I'm going to set the tone. And to do that in a limited amount of snaps, nevertheless, like, the efficacy. Like, good job, Jeremy McNichols. Like, running the football is hard when you're not in a rhythm, and he just comes in. He's like, I'm going to run for a touchdown. Look at me go. And he just runs through tackles, runs through arm tackles, hits the hole when he's supposed to hit the hole, hits it hard, gets through, like, that dude, they trusted him in big spots, big pass protection situations, big blocks. And then obviously you got, you don't know the touchdown run's going to be a touchdown run, but you do know fourth down's pretty important, and they give the ball to him on fourth down. So they did a really good job of using OZ, who we'll talk about next. Using OZ as kind of an Ekeler replacement for a lot of stuff, but there's just certain stuff that running backs need to do. And McNichols picked up that stuff in a tremendous way.
Number three.
Alamide Zaccheaus. I will give credit to Linnell Willingham, so this is going to be good. Linnell, we were at Wizards Media Day earlier today, and he goes, did you know that OZ only played 18 snaps? And I was like, what? Yeah. The impact that dude had in 18 snaps. You want to talk about being out there with a purpose, being out there with intention. They did a great job early. Some of the stuff that Cliff designs really well. That first third down, they get that little out route. OZ, easy catch, gets up the field. Some of the orbit actions and some of that stuff, which is, I don't know how much of that he knew already versus like, hey, we need you to run these motions and be in these places this week. But there are times that he lined up in the backfield and motioned out. They didn't hand him the football any, but they clearly just said, like, who's the guy on our team that is most like Austin Ekeler? We can't replace Austin Ekeler, but who is the guy that we can run some of our Austin Ekeler stuff for in the pass game that we think is the most dangerous? And the answer was Alamide Zaccheaus. And so they ran it for Alamide Zaccheaus, and he did really well. 6 catches, I think it was 85, 84 yards, something like that. I mean, he had a heck of a day. And, that is, I think, a great reminder in general, like, for all of us. These dudes in the NFL are freaky athletic. Like, there are great athletes all over this league. And that's what makes the guys who are the most special so ridiculous, is like the Christian McCaffreys amongst everyone else are that much better. But there's a lot of dudes that if they were just given opportunities could put up some pretty significant numbers, and Olamide Zaccheaus is one of those guys. And the enthusiasm he brings is something Dan talks about a lot, how into it he is for his teammates on the sideline. And then he goes out there and puts up a performance like that. Great job for all the reasons that we picked him on Friday, right? The reason we said is like, who's the guy that we think can replace Eckler? And while he doesn't get any huge explosive plays, he gets a couple of really nice chunks, keeps the offense moving, made the offense as reliable as it has been. And good job, OZ, on all that.
Yeah, OZ was a heck of a pick, heck of a day for him.
Number four,
my number two, Jeremy Chinn.
Good pick.
I think he had his best day as a Commander yesterday. Granted, the first drive wasn't all that great, but outside of that, like, he bounced back and he was able to, you know, just have a lot of impact in the game. He came down. He was a short tackler. I think he had 7 solo tackles, which is huge because, again, tackling in space and just tackling your man in general has been a struggle for all of Washington defenders. So the fact that he was consistent in that aspect. Also, he had a huge hit on special teams. I'm on a kickoff.
Yeah, I thought it's interesting. Like, he and Kwon are both playing kickoff coverage.
Yeah.
They're just like, screw it. This is a chance. And, like, I think it speaks to the mentality of DQ, right? Like, hey, this is a chance to make a play. This is a chance to, like, we know we're going to get hit on the ball. And so let's stick 2 guys out there that can go stick their nose in and force a fumble. And they did. They just didn't recover it. I think it was a great pick. And I think Chinn did have his best game. He's continued to get better and prove why. Like, he's the guy. He's the starter for a reason. They picked him up for a reason. They stuck with him through 2 games that were probably overrated in their badness by the fans and media, because he was worth it, because he was going to knock the rust off and be good. And last week, you know, against Cincinnati, that play he makes on Gesicki where he shows some range, he had a couple more like that where he just fires off and you're like, dang, that dude can get there. I don't know that I want him in the post covering the entire field, but if he's a cover 2 safety, he can be responsible for his half just fine. Yep. And the way he breaks on the ball, I mean, I think it's a combination of awareness and skill, right? There's so many plays where he is a safety and he's in his zone and he sees a quick game happen in front of him, and you have to get there and you have to be sure-handed, and you have to not only make the tackle, but you have to make the tackle backwards. You have to make sure the point of the catch is where the route stops, not a guy catches it, turns, and if he just spins forward, it's an immediate tackle, but he spins forward and gets some extra couple of yards, it goes from 3rd and 3, or maybe that's 4th down, to a 1st down. And a 7-yard gain becomes 10. And Chinn is fantastic at arriving and being like, this is all you get. When I have arrived, no more forward progress. Yep. And Chinn's ability to do that with consistency is fantastic. The other thing I think I'll say real quick on Chinn, Anthony, is his presence in the run game unlocks Luvu to do some of the stuff that he did. Because he plays in the run game like a linebacker, like, Luvu at times can shoot gaps and do stuff that, like, other smaller players sometimes do, because you can trust that Chinn will actually hold his gap. And to be able to have that kind of speed on the field, and, like, it lets Percy Butler, you know, play really fast and, like, just be that single high safety that rockets down into the box and stops run plays or does what he does over the top. But, like, Chinn's ability to kind of do the bigger guy stuff in a little guy's body with a little guy's skill set, for the most part, is special, and I think unlocks this defense. It keeps it balanced, right? You can't just run at him because he can actually take on a guard and shed him and make a block and not get put, even if he doesn't make the play, hold his gap in a way that most safeties can't in the box. And that is a really, really special and important trait.
Number five
was Emmanuel Forbes, who I think had a, like, I'll put it this way. If this had been week 1 for Emmanuel Forbes, I think we're all pretty happy with how he played. I know we have this silly take command promo running right now that I'm trying to get off the air as soon as possible because Emmanuel earned it getting off the air, where I think the last time we saw him, some of his effort, like, wasn't there. He wasn't playing hard enough. He played hard yesterday. He did all the things he was supposed to do. I think in a couple of weeks, that comeback route that he whiffed on, right? The one to Michael Wilson later in the game where it gets completed on the deep comeback and Emmanuel runs by it and he swats the ball and he's late. Give him a couple of weeks. Let that hand get a little bit healthier. Let his timing and his rhythm get a little bit better. And we might see our first Emmanuel Forbes pick six. I think he's going to take a couple weeks to understand and trust in this defense and say, like, all right, these are the things I can give up. These are the things I can't. But he did stick his nose in there. He did play. You know, obviously, it took him a while to get on the field. They started with Sane Russell on the outside. Noah Igbinoghene played well again on the inside. So I think they're probably going to keep rotating those guys to try to keep them fresh. And Noah brings a physicality that I think they like. But having Forbes as part of that rotation is huge. And, you know, credit to BSJ. We talked about this in First and 10. BSJ traveled with Marvin Harrison. I did not think that was going to happen. But having Forbes as another outside corner, as someone who can you rely on to do their job, is really important. And, you know, in the run game, he's not exactly the most physical guy. He's not necessarily making tackles, but he'll go dive at a guy's knees, and that can set the edge just as well as running into him. And so as long as you get the job done, that's all that matters. And I think Emmanuel Forbes, by and large, had a get-the-job-done kind of game. Had a missed tackle, I think, in the run game later in the second half. But again, like, I'm willing to give him a couple of weeks on that stuff as long as he's trying and he's in the right place and he's giving a solid effort, because that's part rust, as we talked about with a guy like Chin. And so I think all in all, I don't know that it was I can look it up, but I don't think his PFF grade is going to be awesome. But like, I give, on the pass fail scale, no doubt that Emmanuel Forbes passed in his return.
I like what I saw. Yeah, his thumb, once he figures it out, I think he's going to be good. It definitely did look like he was a little hesitant on everything, to be honest.
But your timing can be rusty. Like, that is... That is what it is. Let's see. His PFF grade was, it wasn't very good. It was a 46, tackling 24. But, like, he missed a tackle or two. Okay? Like, pretend it's week one. Are we like, hey, okay, dude's missed tackles in week one.
Yeah.
It's got to get better. That's not saying it's okay. But the stuff that got messed up this week was not the stuff that has been messed up for him in the past, and that's an important distinction.
Number six was Mr. Marvin Harrison Jr., and Craig, I think we did a good job on Mr. Harrison Jr. Granted, the first drive, he definitely had a couple of catches. And I was thinking, you know, this is going to be a long day for the Commanders. First play, right to him. Second, and then they drive all the way down, fourth and three or whatever it was, fourth and inches. They throw the TUD over Noah Igbinoghene. But after that, I think the rush helped, you know, the back end. You know, us sending all the blitzes and things of that nature. Didn't, you know, we didn't give Kyler Murray those opportunities to be able to find a Marvin Harrison Jr. down the field. So I'm not going to necessarily say it was all the back end, but I think the rush definitely had a huge factor in, you know, limiting, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and also what Kyler Murray could do.
It takes a village. It takes a village.
to stop number one?
To stop the guy that's that good. And it takes the safeties over the top. It takes Benjamin as the corner who did the bulk of the work. It takes Joe Witt Jr. figuring out what is it that we need to do. After that first drive, he's like, screw it. No one's covering him except for BSJ. Like, okay, fine. We're not letting you get these matchups that you want. And Benjamin did a great job. Again, did he give up nothing? No. It's unreasonable to give up nothing in a 60-minute game to a star stud receiver, which Marvin Harrison absolutely is. He had like 130 yards each of the last couple of weeks after a slow week one, and they did a really great job on him. But it also helps when, you know, when the rush gets home. And those two things are married, and excellent job by that pass rush unit. Excellent job by Joe. And something I wrote in my notes that I think is worth pointing out on both sides. I wrote it at different times in the game about each coordinator. I wrote, Joe is not scared. Cliff is not scared. The way that Joe called the game defensively, leaving at times one-on-one man coverage on the back end, maybe, or just one-on-one coverage with one safety to cover the entirety of the field, and getting some extra guys in the rush, making things muddy and complicated. And then Cliff, you know, the amount of times he trusted Jaden in the dropback game. I think it was a really well-coached game. Like, generally, this team is well-coached. They're not making a bunch of dumb mistakes in the way that they have in the past and that poorly coached teams do. But I also think this particular game, they did a good job of feeling out the game and figuring out what was working and not. And that lets all the things we just talked about those six players, five of theirs and one of the Cardinals, pan out the way that it does. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And that is our pick six at 6. Coming up next, it is Tell the Truth Monday, so we take your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You tell the truth about what you think about the Commanders after that 42-14 win. Next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony just got in my ear during that commercial break and said, we're going to have something new to add to the board, and I'm going to die laughing at something that's going to happen during Real Things. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the Free Odyssey app. Are there local ties to this as well, Anthony, or is this a...
No local ties.
It's just that funny.
I promise
it crosses the funny threshold that it could make the board despite not having local ties.
I doubt it's a could. I think this is a absolute should and would.
Wow. Yeah. We added something like last week.
Yeah. I think this gets added.
Wow.
I think you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Oh!
Either I'm going to like fall out of my chair laughing in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or I'm going to look at Anthony with just a blank stare that is funny enough that the rest of you will fall out of your chair laughing. So one of those two things is going to happen coming up around 6:50. But right now, Anthony, we got to get the proper introduction ready again. It is time for our final edition on this Monday of Tell the Truth Monday.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
All right, let's get to the phones first, and then we will get to some of the YouTube comments. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Aubrey. Aubrey, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I'm out in Las Vegas, and as a 50-year-plus fan of the Burgundy and Gold, what I'm watching is just so exciting, and I just really like seeing what I see. In fact, I told one of my kids yesterday, I looked down on the sideline during the game, and I could almost see Coach Gibbs standing down there as we were issuing that beatdown. It was just great, and I'm just excited for the team. Here's my shout-out. It's a little bit different than maybe everyone else. I want to give a shout-out to Adam Peters. I having experienced the old Redskins and seeing what they had done and with Coach Gibbs and Bobby Bethard and Charlie Casserly, you always had this feeling that there were adults in the front office, that they were making the right moves, adding the right personnel. And over the first couple of weeks of our season, I heard a lot of criticism of a general manager who'd only been here about 9 months or so. And just to watch what he's doing, putting together a team, making us competitive. And I've heard a lot of talk about, are we rebuilding or recalibrating? I think it's real simple. I think Coach Quinn is recalibrating, but I think that Adam Peters is rebuilding, and they've got a partnership going. And Peters is supplying the players and had a great draft, and of course with Jaden, the sky's the limit. But I do think that he's got the long term in mind, and as an older guy, that's what I want to see. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about what I see, but I'm just glad that, you know, really, I haven't heard any mention today of why didn't we get Ayuk or why did we trade Dotson, you know, because they're making the right moves. And it's just exciting for me to see that long term we have adults in the room again. And I'd like to ask you something, Craig, just to comment on.
Sure.
And this is as an old guy. This is an old guy. Mm-hmm. But after hearing all the criticism over the last few weeks, not this past week, obviously, but I got to thinking that, you know, a lot of these younger fans that are calling into you, and I say younger because I'm an old coot, I don't think that they, a lot of them really understand what it means to have a true general manager in the seat. I don't think they really, it's like everyone's on, not everyone, but a lot of folks are on the Dan Snyder train of let's do this now. We got the cap space. We've got, the,
right.
we got let's trade for IU. Let's do this. Let's mm-hmm. do it. And they're not thinking long term. And so I just am very excited about long term. And I'll say this and then I'll go. But having watched it long term, I'm a football fan of Commanders, Redskins, whatever they are fan. I've also been a basketball fan my whole life. I'm 6'8" tall. I was All-State player in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I love basketball. And here's what I'm old enough to remember. Michael Jordan. I do not want our quarterback becoming the next Michael Jordan. And here's what I'm talking about. And I do want it long-term, obviously. But a lot of people don't remember that when Jordan was drafted in 84, he went for years. You know, scoring leader, MVP one year, I think it was 88. He went for years as just the best player on the planet. But right. there were actual articles being written because he will he ever win a championship? That was the deal.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't until Jerry Krause came in that they, you know, he drafted Horace Grant, Scottie, and Horace,
put that team together. As you know, I think a lot of younger fans now know because of the Last Dance doc, not necessarily because of them living through it. I mean, I didn't live through that stuff, but picked it up nicely on the back end. But I think I get your point, Aubrey. Yeah. Great call. We'll let you run, but I really appreciate your call. I think you bring up a lot of great points, and especially the point about like Adam deserving a lot of credit. And I think it actually raises a question, you know, is what is worth being patient for if you're good now? And that takes an even higher level of patience. It's one thing to be patient when you're not that good and be like, hey, we're not that good yet. Like, you know, hey, we're just trying to build it the right way. And, you know, I've talked about this quite a bit, but I'll put it as succinctly as I can. Having a good general manager who builds through the draft takes time by definition. Right? Your best players are always going to come through the draft because great players don't become available in free agency or trade unless there's something that the incumbent team has done wrong, where either they alienate a player and he wants out, and then you have to give up a ton of draft capital as opposed to just drafting one and waiting, plant the seed in water, they made a mistake in an evaluation. They should have given a guy a contract. They didn't. But most of the best players in the league, the blue chip of blue chippers, don't move because those guys get extensions. And so in order to get one, you have to draft and be right and do a good job with your development program. And so that by nature takes time because rookies typically don't come in and play well. Well, Adam has found a couple of rookies that have come in and played really well. Brandon Coleman is playing at a very high level, considering especially he missed training camp, and he was a third-round pick, and he didn't play a lot of tackle last year because TCU needed him inside. Jaden is playing out of his bleeping mind. Sinnott has done a good job in some certain spots, you know, blocking his face off, doing really good stuff. You know, you got Sane Russell who's playing meaningful minutes and making an impact. So, like, you got this draft class that is going to be the core of your team moving forward that's already contributing in a meaningful way. But I think the question becomes in the team management and the adults in the room is like, you have this calculation you're making about how you allocate resources. And when you have a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract, you have so many more resources to use on other stuff. So do you make a move at the deadline because you're like, holy crap, we could be good right now. And what does that long-term look like? And I think what I don't have the answer. I could see an argument to be made either way of maintaining patience and knowing that you don't need to rush and that those assets are too valuable to give up, or saying, hey, Deontay Johnson is available from Carolina, or Amari Cooper is available if you want to go the receiver path from Cleveland, assuming their season continues to go down the tank and especially offensively. And the Commanders can help that happen this weekend if they beat them. Or going out and getting a pass rusher. Do you call the Jets about Hassan Reddick and be like, hey, you guys can't get a deal with him, but we'd be willing to pay him X dollars, and we have the cap room to do it, because you all are paying Aaron Rodgers $1 billion and we're paying Jaden Daniels nothing in NFL money. So these are the questions that Adam Peters has to answer moving forward. But I think Aubrey brings up a bunch of great points of, like, you have to do it the right way. You have to stay patient. And Adam Peters has done a great job of bringing in guys who have established a play style and the foundation that Dan Quinn is looking for, and being a great recruiter and being smart with the money and all that kind of stuff. But it also is going to take time, and he is doing a lot of stuff right and deserves credit for it right now. One last call on Tell the Truth Monday. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Greg. Thank you for taking my call, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What you got for me?
So mine is more of like a question. And okay. Because I feel like the offensive line is playing so night and day compared to how they played last year. And, of course, we've got, you know, different people calling plays. We've got a few different blockers this year. I want to know, outside of that, how much do you think the threat of Jaden Daniels being an outstanding runner kind of makes D-lines rush the passer more conservatively, because they're more worried about gap integrity and things of that nature. And it makes them rush the passer in a way that kind of helps the O-line block a little better. Do you think some of that is kind of helping the O-line as well? Or is this just specifically they just found the right guys for the job and they found the right play caller who just knows how to keep the D-line off balance? Just kind of want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Kevin. And I think the answer is there is some percentage of all of the above. The biggest factor in Jaden Daniels, in the offensive line playing better is Jaden Daniels gets rid of the ball and processes things at an extraordinarily high clip. His ability to get the ball out before guys are getting to him eliminates a lot of issues in the pass rush. I would say the second biggest part is the play calling. They're off balance more. And part of that is Jaden's ability, like the variety of plays they can run is Jaden's ability to, you know, run the football, opens up the RPO game. It opens up the read option game. It opens up the running game, because you play the run differently with a running quarterback than you do with one who's not a threat to pull the ball out, even if it's a called run all the way. Defense doesn't necessarily know that. I think all of those things are bigger than maybe an aggressive level defensive approach. But it is a factor. Cliff has done an incredible job of providing chip help. Like, guys like Terry are getting on the end of the line and chipping before they get out. But then those guys get laid into routes and are able to get hit on checkdowns. And, like, that's mattered to this offense. They're just not doing a ton of drop back game. Until yesterday, they actually did quite a bit. Sometimes it's like, was that drop back or was that quick game? Because the ball gets out so quickly. And Jaden being 6'4 helps. He can see and get the ball out in a way that Sam couldn't. And so it's a long, long list of factors. Ultimately, sacks are traditionally, when people have studied that piece of data, a quarterback stat. And this is what drove me absolutely bananas about the narrative about this offensive line last year. And I talked to a lot of people about it in the offseason. I was like, you need to adjust your expectations for this offensive line, because you had a quarterback in Sam Howell who was very unoffensive line friendly being dropped back by a play caller who did not insulate him at all, did not provide help, and stuck said unfriendly offensive line quarterback in bad situations for the offensive line at a literal record clip. Yes, the results were going to be bad. And by the way, they didn't detail up the run game in the way that they do this year. So you're just constantly in better down and distance, which also affects the aggressiveness on the D-line. So I think, Kevin, your point is a good one, that yes, you are going to be more concerned with Jaden Daniels getting out and running than you would be facing Tom Brady. But it's actually Jaden's ability to do some of the Tom Brady stuff, get the ball out quickly and accurately, that is impacting the sack numbers more than his running ability, if that makes sense. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, you have a concerned look on your face. Is there like a breaking news piece or something that I'm missing here?
Nah.
Okay. You're just that excited for real things.
I am.
Okay, well, let's get to it, shall we? Real things, and Anthony promised a banger next. Final five here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Quick housekeeping note. It was Wizards Media Day today. We will be playing for you the interviews that we had over the next couple of weeks as we head towards the season. We'll also be putting them up online at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman on YouTube. We'll just be releasing them interview by interview. But if you are like, I got to hear them right now, you can go into the Team 980's live videos on YouTube. We live streamed everything, so you can go in and watch it on demand. Just kind of scroll through to the actual interviews. Obviously, we had a graphic and some music up during the in-between time because there was plenty of waiting around. But we had great chats with Jordan Poole. Was probably my favorite guy to talk to. He was real introspective in a way that I appreciated. We had some good fun banter about our summers as well. Kuz was good, as he always is. Will Dawkins was great. BK was good. Talked to Alex Saar at the very end. Corey Kispert and I had our third straight year where we chatted, had fun, and didn't get fired. So that was good. Corey also has a very nice mustache. So that was, I was mesmerized a bit by his stash. I didn't talk to him about it, but I should have. But yeah, so that's all on the YouTube page right now. And we'll also put those interviews in audio form in the Hoffman Show podcast feed, within the next couple of days when we get a chance to edit them up and get them in there. So, that is all of that. Anthony, any other housekeeping? If not, I want to save plenty of time for real things because you promised good things.
No.
Okay. Well, actually, let me check this email real quick. Did I get a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun? Yeah, Mark Schlereth on the show tomorrow. So,
oh, that's tough.
Looking forward to that. So Stink, we're going to record it in the afternoon and then, so we'll probably air that. What time do you think tomorrow, Anthony?
Either 6 or 6:30.
Okay. So look forward to that. And we'll get to whatever else is left over from the weekend. And, okay. That's enough waiting. Anthony, please hit the button. And then I'm excited for this. Let's go.
Real things.
We're not gonna be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Anthony has promised a real thing that is so good that it's gonna wind up on our board. Anthony, take it away.
Should I give you the background on it, or?
Yeah, that's probably helpful before hitting the clip. Right, unless so it'd be funnier to play and then explain. Give me the background.
All right, so everybody had a media day today.
Yes.
And the Lakers, you know, LeBron is my favorite player. He was asked today, how does he feel about being the oldest player in the NBA again? Here was the exchange.
Your reaction to being the oldest player in the league again?
I know you love the screams and the...
We do have a lot of random screams on the board. I do think the LeBron I'm old scream. We might, Anthony, have to create an entire... Like, we have to reorganize the board just so we have all the screams in one place.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yes.
Oh, man. I actually died laughing when I first saw it. I was like, oh, Craig is going to love this. I'm going to love it.
Well done. Yeah. That is true.
Let me cut this one out.
Yeah. Please do. Let's save that. We'll get it in the system, and we'll have a whole screen board section of the board. I'm excited for that. I got to say, that whole exchange did make me think of another different real life interaction I had recently. So when we were in Indiana, I was talking to Alicia, and it was right around when a lot of the DT retirement stuff was starting to bubble up. Mm-hmm. And so one of the writers who covers the Aces wanted to do a story with Alicia, which has got to be coming out anytime soon, but did a story with Alicia about her being the second oldest player in the league. Because Alicia's 37.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wait, you're it? And she's like, Craig, can you believe it? And I was like, not really, but also, I guess. And I was like, so, like, DT can't retire then, right? And she just looked at me like, I can't be the oldest player in the league. There's no way. Like, that is kind of crazy. Like, you just, especially now that, like, my best friend who's an athlete is about to be the oldest player in the league, in her respective league. What the hell does that say about me? We went to college together. Now, she is older than me. Not by much, obviously, because we were in college together. Yeah. But she is at least older than me.
I won't say it, but I don't know what it means.
Speaking of Wizards Media Day, you want to know what was actually funny? Corey Kispert, I was talking to him about the fact that he was a four-year college player.
Uh-huh.
And then he now has been in the league 4 years, and now he's got all these 19-year-olds running around with Bub and with Alex Saar. And I was like, are you starting to feel that gap a little bit? And he's like, yeah. And he starts talking, and he's like, you know, they have their way of saying it. What I mean, what they clearly mean is I'm old. He's like, I'm only 25. And I swear, Anthony, I think I kept it in well enough that Corey didn't even know that I had a visceral reaction inside. I wanted to kick Corey Kispert off that chair when he said he was only 25 and he was feeling old. But I also get it when you're around 19-year-olds, but I'm older than 25. And I know, well, it's funny because, like, I'm 34, but people listening that are 54 are like, Craig, you're so young. Shut up. It's just, it's how it works. It's how the world works.
Yeah. I'm still baffled that Corey is only 25. I thought he would have been, like, 26, 27.
Yeah, I definitely would have thought he was older. Which, I mean, is a compliment. To be a four-year
player?
Yeah, I mean, as a compliment. I guess he got there.
It is a good thing.
Graduated on time.
Because some people,
He's just mature. Yeah. He's a mature fella. All right, we'll be back tomorrow for a Vibe Check Tuesday.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.